You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
We are starting an all-new journey of a series. Interesting series. I'm so glad that the men have decided to preach on this. The title of this series is Cross-Training. It's a four-week series on the spiritual disciplines. And many Christians don't realize the importance of spiritual disciplines and realize a lot of the times the problems that you and I have are really not in the areas of being demonized or in things that fall apart because of the devil's activities. A lot of them really stem from a lack of discipline. Now, if there is a sense of discipline in other areas of our lives, it is even more serious in matters pertaining to the spirit. Now, if you look at sports, when you talk about cross-training, whether that be tennis or basketball or football or soccer or whatever sport you do, coaches will tell you that the best way to train athletes is through cross-training. It's not one particular discipline. If you want to be a great soccer player, they train you on different things. They teach you how to swim. They teach you gymnastics. They teach you all sorts of things because they know that those different trainings allow you different muscles in your body to combine together to make you stronger, to make you a better champion, a better athlete. One of my best friends and my longtime neighbor where I live is Coach Eric Altamirano. He's a champion. He's a champion basketball player. He won for the UP Maroons in his day. He was a champion coach for Pure Foods. And just recently, this year, or last year rather, he became the champion coach for the NU. National University, and he was an amazing man, and I know that whenever I watch Coach Eric train his team, it's always some form of cross-training. There's something about biking and swimming and push-ups and weight resistance and running and all sorts of different training. Some of them, they actually do boxing just to make sure that all those muscles are being utilized and maximized. When you think about championship games and spiritual disciplines, there's probably no story in the Bible that enhances that, that really captures that, than David and Goliath. You think about championship games. When you look at basketball games, now the Warriors are fighting the Cavaliers. How many of you know that's a David and Goliath fight? When you see Manny Pacquiao fighting an American boxer, that's a David and Goliath. We reference this through the years, through decades, through hundreds of years. This story is so powerful. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to study the life of David, the spiritual disciplines that allowed this teenager, basically, to kill this champion. By the way, if you look up the word champion in Scripture, you'll only find it three times mentioned in the Bible. And in each and every time, the word champion was mentioned in light of Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4, and there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath. In other words, this guy had killed other champions and everybody else around that made him the champion. Now, further in chapter 17, verse 23, and he talked with them. Here's David talking to the Israelites. And behold, the what? The champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words before, and David heard him. So here's this champion coming out, talking to all of these Israelites. And in the midst of that, David hears it, comes out, and twice he's called the champion. And by the third time he's mentioned, it says, then David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their what? Champion was dead. In other words, there's three times this word champion is talked about. Twice he's the champion. By the third verse, he's dead. How do you become a champion? You kill the champion. How does a champion team become a champion? They beat the previous champion team. But how do you do that? When you study the life of David, you couldn't go past anywhere in hundreds of years, different sculptures, artworks, anime, videos, repeating this story. There's something so powerful about the life of this young man, and the disciplines that he has learned through the years that caused him to become a champion. By the way, champions are not made in the ring. Champions are proven in the ring. Champions are made in a place where there are disciplines that are put there. In the case of spiritual championship, or winning the race, so to speak, and finishing the race that God has marked out for you and me, there are such things as spiritual disciplines. We want to look at those disciplines in the next 4 weeks. But today, I really have to ask you to bear with me because I have two messages that are separate. The first one is I want to deal with the primary discipline that you and I need to have as Christians, and that's prayer. But before I talk about prayer, I want to talk briefly about the idea of discipline. Now, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, "And you have completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as the Father addresses you, His Son. It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you.'" Now, notice that the word discipline shows up here, and it gives you two parts. He says, on the one hand, you don't take it lightly. Discipline is making sure that whatever it is you're doing, you're not taking it lightly, whether that's prayer, whether that's coming to church, if you're going into sports, if you want to become a great foul throw player or a great striker or a great volley player, whatever it is you want to be good at, don't take it lightly. On the other hand, it says, do not lose heart when you fail. So let me show you what this looks like. It kind of looks like this. There's a line in the middle. On the one hand, don't lose heart. Don't take it lightly. So you're constantly walking this thin line and making sure that as you walk it and you fall, don't take it lightly, come back. If you fall here, don't lose heart. Just keep coming back. Is everybody following this? If you don't take it lightly, come back. Don't lose heart, come back. Just keep going like this, because if you keep doing that, over time, the core muscles inside of you get strong. That applies to any discipline. Any and every discipline that you do. When I first started running, every part of my muscles ached. Don't take it lightly. It hurts. Put ice on it. Amen? But don't lose heart. Come back again tomorrow. Don't run tomorrow, just walk. But don't take it lightly, and don't lose heart. Just keep doing this until the core muscles change and the discipline becomes a part of you. Now, further it says in verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. In essence, what it's saying is discipline is hard. Everybody checked out all of a sudden. Some of you need to understand this. Discipline is not easy, but you endure it because God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? In other words, the mark that you are God's son is the level of discipline that you enjoy. If your father doesn't tell you what he need to hear, then he's not treating you like a son. If he's not correcting you, if he's not adjusting you, if he's not telling you, you know, there's a better way of doing this thing. He's not treating you like a father. Now notice it says, no discipline, because it's hard, seems pleasant at the time. No discipline is pleasant. It's easier to take it lightly. Oh, let's just watch a movie. Oh, let's forget this. Who cares? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Oh, this is so hard. I'm losing heart. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But if you keep at it, if you keep doing it, if you keep doing it, over time, he says, later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who have been trained by it, to those who have chosen to not lose heart. Do not take it lightly. Over time, they start walking this tightrope. And you start wondering, how in the heck do they do that? Champions are not made in the ring. They're not made in the Colosseum. They're made in the sheep pens. When the lions and the bear attack. When there's nobody looking. But they choose not to lose heart. And they choose to do what needs to be done. And folks, that goes with prayer. If you want to be good at prayer, don't take it lightly. Don't lose heart when the prayers don't get answered. Keep doing it. Many of our problems as Christians are not because of the devil. You know, the devil gets too much credit for your issues. Actually, he's sick and tired of you complaining about him. And he's sitting out there and saying, I'm getting too much credit for this. He's not your problem, your bigger problem. He is a problem. And we can talk about that another day. In my estimation, at best, 30%. At most, usually, 20% of your problem is the devil. 70 to 80% of your problem is a lack of discipline. Honestly. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the book of Psalms is the Bible's book of prayer. If the Bible is the Bible and it's the book of God, the book of Psalms is the Bible's book on prayer. If you want to learn how to pray, read the book of Psalms. If you could, which I believe you should, read it every day. And then you're going to grow the muscle of prayer. The book of Psalms is a treasury of prayers. Some of the most amazing prayers written for thousands of years are in that book. About people's lives who've walked with God and know how to pray, they know that muscle. I'm going to look at one of them right now, book of Psalms chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. I love you, Lord. That's a prayer. Getting up in the morning is a discipline and saying, I set aside everything, I'm praying this morning. This is of the highest priority. This is of all the disciplines in my life. This one has to happen. Because if this one doesn't happen, I'm not setting the course of this day. That's a discipline. When you wake up in the morning, you have many choices. Eat. Hello. Go back to sleep. Open your computer. Look at the news. Pick up the newspaper. Run to work. Brush your teeth. You've got a lot of choices. God doesn't care about your bad breath if you're praying. Amen? But you have the muscle of prayer. He says, I love you, Lord, my strength. That's a prayer. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, he says. My shield, my horn of my salvation, my stronghold. It's prayer. You're praying to God. You're saying, God, you're my rock. You're my fortress. But you know the starting point of this? I love you. I love you. Why do you want this muscle? More than just the muscle, because you want the muscle of devotion. That word devotion, by the way, is the word in the old English. What that means is the word addict. You know, when you have bad habits that you're addicted to, it's because you keep doing them so often that they became a habit, that they become the second nature to you. And that's the way prayer should be. It should be something that you're addicted to, but the way you do that is by being disciplined and repeating that process each and every day. Now, let me teach you how to do this. It's really very simple. How many of you want to get addicted to prayer? It's very simple. This is all you need, okay? All you need is a Bible. How many of you have a Bible? Some of you don't have a Bible, okay? We need to buy you one. You need a sheet of paper. You don't need this sheet of paper. That's my sheet of paper. You can use a notebook. Okay, I'm teaching you how to get disciplined. How many of you want to get disciplined in the spirit? Okay? Ball pen. How many of you can buy a ball pen? This is not hard. You see, listen to me. It's not about these things, really, at the end of the day. It's really not about when and how. It's do you want to do it? I take that. I get up in the morning. And I read my Bible. To make sure that I read it, I write down the verses at the top that I'm going to read. You don't have to do this. I'm just teaching you. You develop your own discipline. I'm just teaching you mine. But you don't have to follow this. You don't even have to have this same sheet of paper. But I write down, I'm going to read Isaiah 56, Psalm 40. This is yesterday. This is June 6, 2015, Saturday, yesterday. I didn't read Acts 25. You see the X? In other words, I wasn't that disciplined. Don't lose heart, amen? Go back tomorrow again. Are you following? But get into the discipline. I got busy yesterday. After I read the verse, I write down the verse on that paper. And then I craft a prayer underneath it. Lord, help me. This is about a 45, 50-minute exercise every day. It's a discipline. Prayer. God, I'm devoted to you. God, my time is for you. God, you're the highest priority. You want that muscle. You're going to understand in a short while why you need this muscle. Listen well. After you, this is my June 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I do this every day except Sunday. To build the muscle of devotion. God, I love you. This is April, May, and June. I stacked them into an envelope. Build that muscle of devotion. That your first reaction to your day is devotion to God. You want that. Trust me. The older you get in the things of the Spirit, you want to make sure that your instincts, your spiritual muscles are, I'm devoted to you. It's devotion, the reason why you want to do this. You want to be an addict to this thing. You want to know that word so that when it comes, just like David, it's a muscle memory. The faith is there. That by the time Goliath shows up, the opportunity to fight in a game, in a boxing match, is not something you're going to be prepared for when it comes. You may make sure your muscles are ready. So when that opportunity comes, you're ready with that muscle memory to hit that giant on the face. When the prayer is needed. I was driving here this morning and a taxi cab stopped right in front of me and I almost hit him. And then there was a car in front of me, taxi stops right in front of C5. I almost hit him. I thought I was going to get into an accident this morning. The guy jumps out of the cab, smashes the window of the guy beside him and starting a fight for him. You better make sure you know how to pray when those things happen. This is today. This is 2 hours ago. Are your muscles there? Devoted. Psalm 18, verse 4, the cords of death entangled me. He's praying. The torrents of destruction overwhelm me. I don't go through a day without reading a psalm and praying. Prayer is important, folks. It teaches us devotion. Cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. It's prayer. God hears me. Why do you want to pray? You want to have a muscle of devotion, but secondly, you want to have a muscle of dependence. You need to make sure, you need to get your system, your whole being so used to, your first instincts and reaction is my dependence on God. I spoke to you earlier about my friend, Eric Altamirano, who's also my next door neighbor. And Eric is a champion coach, champion player, great guard. And about 4 years ago, NU hired him. And NU is, you know, it's not a very popular team. The great teams are UST, LaSalle, Ateneo. All the other teams are great, but the NU was nobody. And 4 years ago, they hired him, and they never showed up in the radar of championship. On the second year, they kind of made it a little closer. On the third year, they almost made it to the championship. They actually lost in a very bad loss. And rumor had it that he was going to get fired. And I remember that loss very well because I remember that night we were sitting in his house, and he said, you know, there's rumors that I might get fired, I might lose my job, and, you know, Pastor, I'm not that young, I don't know where to go. I said, you know what? Let's pray. Let's trust God. Trust His sovereignty that whatever He says, if He's going to do it, He's going to do it. And He's going to be with you. And we prayed. And you know this, the rest of the story. A year later, and you became the champions. Amazing victory. The team was celebrating. They were out. There were parties everywhere. There were interviews on radio. There were interviews on TV. And I heard about it because people were talking about it. Hey, did you know Eric won? And people were texting and tweeting. And I just said, well, thank God. It was about a year later. My house was ringing, and I looked at my phone and said, who is this? So I checked, and it was my house. My house usually doesn't call me. My kids call me directly, so I know who's calling me. But this time it was my house. I said, what is this? So I answered the phone, and they said, Pastor Joey, Coach Eric is in here. He just rang the doorbell. He wants to see you. I said, well, I can't. I'm on my way to a building banquet. I'm about to speak, and I can't attend to him. Can you tell him that I'll pass by his house tomorrow? I went to Eric's house the next day. I said, Eric, how's things? Is there anything wrong? I said, you know what? After the victory, after everything won, all the interviews, all the accolades, I picked up my daughter. I exited from the auditorium, boarded my car, and I couldn't wait to get home to be able to come to your house and pray with you to thank God. It's a muscle. He knew where that victory came from. That's dependence. The next day was Saturday, and I thought he wasn't going to be in his house. So when I rang the doorbell, because I looked at TV, Eat Bulaga, everybody was interviewing all of these players, and Coach Eric was nowhere to be found. He was in his house. And we sat there and prayed. Folks, you need a heart of dependence. I'm not giving you a rah-rah pitch here. I'm teaching you the discipline of prayer. The more devoted you are to God, the more dependent you are with God, the more you're going to be in prayer to God. Amen? Now, further, it says in chapters 18, verse 16, He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. That's what it is. When you pray, it's not just devotion. It's not just dependence. There's a place where you understand, God, you're going to deliver me. God, there's faith to believe I'm walking out of this house regardless of what I face out there, regardless of the problems that I may have, you're going to deliver me. You're going to come for me. You are going to fight my enemies against me. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. This is L.A. Revilla. And as you can tell, he's a Lasallite. And L.A., he was 14 years old when Coach Eric found him. He was playing for just some barangay team in Bacolod. His father's a mechanic. He's 5'6" tall, but Eric saw the talent when he was 14 years old. Eric brought him to Manila, raised him, trained him, became a great player, 5'6" tall. And L.A. played for LaSalle. Something good happens to the school every now and then. And I love L.A. Played basketball with my kids. He grew up around us. He was in our neighborhood. He lived with Eric. And he was really an amazing player. Until one day, he just fainted and collapsed. He had to be rushed to the hospital. They had to check him up. And they found out, with no history whatsoever, that he had juvenile diabetes. He shrank. He lost weight. No energy. Worse, they found he had a severe case of hyperthyroidism. Bad situation. I wish I can tell you, because I can't remember how many times I prayed for this young man. My wife and I, Eric, Marisa, my kids, depending on God. God, please heal him. I remember the day that they had to sit him out for 2 years and he couldn't touch a ball. I wish I could tell you how distraught that was for all of us, but because of the discipline of prayer, we never gave up. And we just kept praying. Well, the Bible says this, They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. L.A. became a follower of Christ, became a disciple, learned to live with God despite the situation. Prayer not only gives you devotion and dependence, makes you hope for deliverance. We can't explain to this day. A little bit of help from the doctor, a little bit of exercise, a little bit of training. But L.A. is completely healed. And L.A. is actually playing now for Kia. That's his team manager, Manny Pacquiao. And this year, L.A. is vying. He's number 5 in the 5 top most valuable players in our country today. Prayer. Some of you, the minute you hear prayer, you're turned off by it. You don't have the discipline. You don't have the devotion. You don't have the dependence. You don't understand the power of its deliverance. I was with LA just before I went to Ignite last week. Happy face, now with a girlfriend. Some things really happened well in LaSalle. Prayed for him and blessed his day. Deliverance, devotion, dependence. This is why you pray. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Why do you want to pray? Because every time you pray, you get closer and get more devoted to God. When you make that the beginning of your day and the end of your day, when you do that every day, what happens is that that muscle of devotion gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Don't take it lightly. Don't lose heart when you miss it. Start again tomorrow. Don't take it lightly. Don't lose heart. Don't take it lightly. Don't lose heart. Just keep doing it. End your day. Don't take it lightly. And pray those same prayers. Don't give up. Just keep going. Many of you know that we had Ignite for a week this week. 35 nations, 15,000 young people in Araneta Coliseum shouting, screaming, believing God to change our nation. The next generation of Christianity is bright. Now watch that. I was there for 3 days. Thank God I wasn't very busy this week. I just sat there and watched. Sat at the back. Looked at these kids taking our church to the next level. Loved every minute of it. When I got home, I was cleaning up my desktop, my computer, and on my desktop, I found this picture. That's me, many, many years ago. And that's this church, when there was no air conditioning in University Belt, when there was no money, when the chairs were wooden fold-ups, when the windows were open and everybody stunk. But we knew how to pray. We knew how to be devoted to God. We were disciplined. We were a people that were dependent on God. Our tithes and offerings were not checks. They were bags of coins. But we trusted in Him that one day He's going to bring us to a spacious land. We had a huge map at the back of this church. Huge. Pastor Joel, remember that? Pastor Joel and I have known each other for 29 years now. We've been doing this for 29 years now. How do you last 29 years, 31 years doing this? Disciplines. Spiritual disciplines, folks. It's a huge map, about as big as that. Nations of the world, and that's all we had. We had nothing. But we had a map, and we had faith. And we said, God, we're claiming China. We're claiming Japan. We're claiming India. We're claiming all these nations. Today, 31 years later, 600 churches worldwide. Prayer. Laying hands on walls that didn't exist. Believing God for senators, congressmen, when there was nothing. Prayer is important. So that you can understand when God says, I'm going to move you to a spacious land. When you learn how to pray, to be devoted to Him. To be dependent on Him. To trust that He can deliver you and bring you to a great place. He is faithful to complete it. Amen? Prayer. Very simple discipline. A very powerful truth. A muscle of devotion. The discipline of dependence. The discipline that says, God, you will deliver me. Each and every time you're going to come through for me. You know what blows my mind away about Ignite? Under budget. These are kids. The guys that pulled this off were volunteers. About 1,200 of them. We didn't overcharge. We practically gave it to the lowest amount of money we could get these guys in there. But you know, at the back of that auditorium, there was a room. A room we'd had for years. Prayer. Just young men and women praying. God, you're going to make this happen. Because we've devoted ourselves to you. And we're dependent on you. And you'll deliver this. You will do this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand on your feet as we close in the word of prayer? Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Teach us to pray. Teach us, give us a willingness, God, to pray. To walk in devotion, to walk in dependence, to trust in your deliverance, to have faith to believe you're for us and not against us. Raise us up as champions in the Spirit, God. The world may never know about us, God, but you will. And to be known as your champion, Lord, is more amazing than anything we could ever do. God, I'm asking you, would you just lay hands in your hearts right now? God, give me a revelation and a desire to get disciplined in the area of prayer, that I may have the muscles of devotion, of dependence, of faith that you will always be for me and deliver me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download at joeybonifacio.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.